in the first round. Stay tuned for any changes that we see throughout the course of this offseason, any adjustments to the team, and keep an eye out sometime around August for that next schedule when we'll get a better idea of when exactly we will get to reconvene on these airwaves. A new regular season begins in October, and the Bucks certainly will be on a mission to regroup from this first-round exit. To everybody that has tuned in tonight and throughout the course of the season, our deepest gratitude for coming along with us on this journey one final time this season. I am Justin Garcia, signing off here, reminding you there will be more Bucks basketball next season, right back here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple quick tips about how to save on gas. Now, our warm-up tip is that modern cars don't actually need to warm up. Now, I remember feeling pretty smart when I let my 73 Buick Regal run for about 10 minutes before I would head out in the morning. Truth is, if your car was built in the last 30 years, the engine does not need more than 30 seconds to fully warm up. The rest of that time is just you burning money. My main tip today, though, is this. Don't spring for the premium gas. Unless your car's...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Amtrak will start a second passenger train route between St. Paul and Chicago later this month. The Borealis trains begin service on the 21st. The new trains follow the current Empire Builder route between St. Paul and Milwaukee and the Hiawatha stops between Milwaukee and Chicago. There'll be 8 stops in Wisconsin. Donald Trump telling a Waukesha rally Wednesday he supports the law enforcement crackdown on the pro-Palestinian protest encampment at UW-Madison.
To every college president, I say remove the encampments immediately, vanquish the radicals, and take back our campuses for all of the normal students who want a safe place from which to learn.
Police say 34 people were arrested, but only 4 of them went to jail. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Bucks season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks lost tonight to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final, the Pacers 120, the Bucks 98. The Pacers now win the series 4-2 and advance in the playoffs. Despite injuries, the Bucks' Damian Lillard tried to make a go of it, leading Milwaukee with 28 points in 35 minutes of play. Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, each with 20, a disappointing 14 points from Chris Middleton. So the Bucks finish up with an overall season record of 48-34. Last year, they dismissed head coach Mike Budenholzer. This year, one has to wonder if change is coming to the roster. Baseball, the Brewers in Chicago to open a three-game weekend series against Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs. First pitch tomorrow afternoon at 1:20 at Wrigley Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds tonight, some rain ending, maybe a little clearing late, to a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back and warmer, highs into the low 70s. Then another round of rain tomorrow night and Saturday, high temps in the upper 60s. Sunny and around 70 Sunday. Right now it's 53.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, recombobulation with Dan Schaefer, National Space Day, Bob Bonadour from the Planetarium, and Matinair on Air's new ornithologist. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Ha ho, hey, Kargi. Welcome, all of our friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Earth Radio Presents I'm Awake. We discuss local and national Native news, stories, and events here on Native Earth Radio. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Earth Radio Network on Patreon. Hey, I just want to give a big shout out to our new and continuous Patreon donors. You know, we appreciate you all so, so much, and you really do help keep our show up and running. And that means a lot to us. Producer Haley Cherry here with you now. My Ho-Chunk name is Trasha Pewongaweneek, which means Little Eagle Princess. Starting off the show today, as my Dega host, Robert Pilot, attends to some very important community work this evening. But we have an awesome show lined up for today. I want to start things off in a good way here. And introduce, we have another weekly update from our neighbor state across the river. So this is our weekly update from the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Before I took office, years of disinvestment had caused our roads and bridges to crumble into disrepair. So when I ran for governor, I promised to fix the darn roads, and we've been hard at work ever since doing just that. Since 2019, our administration has improved over 7,424 miles of road and 1,780 bridges, including over 900 miles of road and over 200 bridges just this last year alone. And we're not slowing down in 2024. This week, I'm traveling across the state on pothole patrol, filling potholes, talking with local leaders, and fixing the darn roads myself. When I visit communities across our state, it's clear that every pothole filled, street resurfaced, or bridge reconstructed made people's lives a little better, a little easier, and a whole lot safer. That's why fixing the darn roads has been such a critical priority for me and my administration, and I'm proud of the significant investments we have made to do this important work. During my time in office, we've secured some of the largest investment our state's transportation budget has seen in years, all while keeping debt service payments low. And is proud to secure historic increases in shared revenue for local communities, including a 20% increase for most municipalities statewide that will enable local governments to invest in community needs like local roads. As transportation funding continues to grow, so does the number of projects. In fact, there are more than 300 state highway and bridge improvement projects scheduled across Wisconsin each year. So that old joke is right. There are two seasons in Wisconsin, winter and construction season. But that's a good thing. It means we're getting to work to build the 21st century infrastructure Wisconsinites expect and deserve. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Governor Tony Evers, thanks so much for those updates. That joke, two seasons, winter and construction season, or as you know, post pothole season after our long winters. But thank you again so much. Next up, we have some speeches from yesterday's grand reopening of our new Minneapolis American Indian Center here in Minnesota. And also, I just want to give another shout out to for those who might not know, Minnesota is the only state or one of the only states that dedicates a whole month to American Indian celebrations. So that is the month of May. So happy second day of American Indian Month here in Minnesota. Moving on, we're going to begin with our speeches. This is Sam. We're going to start with Sam, who was the overseeing architect from White Earth, and he was overseeing a lot of the work being done in the new renovations at the American Indian Center. So we'll go ahead and take a listen to him. And then after that, it will be our Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, who is also White Earth, tribal nation up in northern Minnesota. So without ado, let's go ahead and take a listen.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour. Again, Sam Olbexen. It's been a pleasure to work probably over 14 years on the idea for this building. So way back over a decade ago, many of you here were part of the visioning process, just to imagine what this community could do, what we need as a community to serve and to come together and be together as community. And I think that's the most important thing. I want to thank the board of directors and everyone on the Capitol campaign, everyone in the community who's been part of this. And I'll be brief, but I just wanted to, again, thank everyone here for coming, because the best part of opening a building is to have the community inside. And without it, without you inside, it's not complete. So I'll look forward to seeing everyone inside, and miigwech, and I'll turn it over to Peggy. Where's Peggy? Peggy. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we have a schedule here. So our next speaker, thank you, Sam. Our next speaker is the Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan. So Peggy is currently the highest ranking Native woman to be elected to executive office in the United States, and during her tenure has been a huge champion of our Native community here and our Native communities across the state. So we are deeply honored to have Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here. So welcome, Peggy.
Okay. Well, bonjour, everybody. I'm so happy to be here today. I can't wait for you to walk through these doors. It is incredibly beautiful, and I got a little sneak peek last week and was completely overwhelmed and had tears in my eyes, because we deserve this space. Our community deserves this space. Yes. If y'all could just follow me around and just do this wherever, I'd appreciate it. White Earth, we're real humble people. And super good looking. But I will just say this. The work of Mary Lagarde, the dedication, the tenacity, the just unending advocacy on the Capitol campaign, but also at the Minnesota State Capitol, we are here for this ribbon cutting because of her heart and because of her love for the urban Native community. Shi miigwech to you, Mary Lagarde. And I want to just name one more thing, because when we talk about capital projects or bonding at the state legislature, sometimes it can feel abstract, but this is not. When we designate resources and dollars for Black, Indigenous, communities of color, we know how to spend those resources in a way that meets the needs of our own communities. This is case in point. This is an investment that will matter for generation after generation after generation. And so I just want to say to everyone who had a hand in literally building this building with their hands and raising money and their prayers to create this beautiful space and all of the new memories that will be created in this building. Chimiguich, what an incredible celebration. I can't wait for y'all to go inside. Thank you.
Hey, that was our Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan from yesterday's reopening of the Minneapolis American Indian Center. We're going to take a quick break here, but I want to quickly shout out some of our good friends that I and Robert got to see yesterday. That is Angie Vig of Vig Guitars in St. Paul and also Christine of Pretendians Band, as well as some of our old Native Roots producers, Ogama and Zoe. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
As nature awakens this spring, let's awaken to the call of protection. Native brothers and sisters, let's bloom together by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Let's nurture our heritage and safeguard our futures, one vaccination at a time. So be a vaccinative this spring by protecting yourself and others in our Native community. Whether you're due for an updated vaccine or just getting started, all COVID vaccines offer vital protection against severe illness. For our elders over 65, the latest vaccine is recommended by the CDC to maintain protection. So spring forward with strength, Native communities. Embrace the renewal of the season and safeguard our traditions by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake. Hey, everyone. Haley Cherry here with you, producer for Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we're going to dive right back into our speeches from yesterday's ribbon cutting ceremony at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. Next up, I know we have three tribal leaders speaking from up north, and mainly, I think, White Earth, Fond du Lac, and Leech Lake. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
Right. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. So we are joined by, there are a number of tribal leaders that have come down or come up, you know, wherever you live, and are here to celebrate with us. And I want to give this opportunity to first will be Chairman Dupi from the Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe. Chairman Dupi, please come up and say a few words.
Awuju, Naganimus and Dizikas, Nagashwan and Gunujuba, Amigazudodem. First of all, I'll say miigwech to all of you. I think the credit for anything like this is for what everything that they did. And it really needs to be held high on that principle. I grew up on the other side of the river on the west side of St. Paul. When I was a kid, I'd come over here to play basketball. They used to play baseball and everything else that you could think of. We'd come over here. And Jewel Fairbanks halfway house at the point in time, we'd do a massive run from here to Duluth every year and run back. I can't do that anymore. I'm a little bit older. But the point is that you have something that belongs to you now. And for as a tribal leader is to say this is a way that we can have that true connection to our people who live off reservations and made their home within these communities. And it's a community built up of tribal people from all over the country. And you need to take pride. I'm not telling you what to do. It's just one of the questions that are asked all the time is why we do what we do. And it's because you're proud of yourself and who you are and where you come from. It doesn't matter how many miles away that you live from your home place. It is who you are, as who we are as people, as indigenous people. So I just want to say, miigwech to all of you, that this building here shows the progression of people that when they come together, what they can do and what they can accomplish. And what does that mean at the end of the day? Now we have some place where we can bring everything that we have within our own reservations to a service principle so we have the ability to take care of our people better, much better. We can look over there, there's a pharmacy. We can down the road, there's offices. All tribal communities that put something together to do this. And now this building shows what it can be done and what it means from this point. But it's up to you what you want to do, how you want services brought forward. And so this gives us ability to come to a place, sit down and talk, which we need big time. It's really hard to come in front and talk with my sister over here, Lieutenant Governor. But before I go, I just want one statement for everybody, and everybody can listen to this, please. Fond du Lac has the best wild rice. Miigwech, miigwech to all of you. Uh-huh.
All right, well, maybe we should have like a wild rice contest or something, right? One of these days we're going to have to do that here. So thank you, Chairman Dupuy. Next we have Chairman Jackson from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and he's come down here today, and I'd like for him to come up and say a few words.
Okay, Bujou. Thank you, Mary. Farron Jackson Sr., an indigenous cause. Giwaden indigo, makwan indundem. Apachigo nimi windam, ma yayan nungam. Mino gizigad. All right. I was just excited to be on my way down here this morning with my daughters, you know, excited to dance in the powwow this evening. And I was just thinking about the memories here for the Indian Center from the basketball tournaments we all played in and the bingo games. We came here with our families and our mothers to play bingo. You know, all them things are cherished memories. You know, like Kevin related to, you know, we're only going to enhance the services that can be done at a complex like this. You know, the older community center served its purpose, but it's time to get ready for the next generations with the new building. And I just want to thank all the vendors and all the federal funding programs that helped make this happen. And, you know, I remember living over here. I mostly lived in North Minneapolis when I lived down in the Twin City, but North Side. But then we moved to the South Side, and I went to Seward Elementary over here a little bit too. And I remember coming over here riding bikes with all the Nijis over here, and we were playing in the hole here when they were just prepping the ground to get ready to build the building. And I remember that, and I think that was in 1975. And then I think at that time, this Minneapolis American Indian Center was one of the only urban Indian centers in big cities. And I remember statements made to that effect, and all the good tribal leaders that gathered here, and you know, all the services it offers with the mud groups, and everybody's coming together here. And I'm excited for this day, and it's good to see all the people here today lining the streets. It's good to see, hear the drum and have the parade, and hey, let's continue on and celebrate this special day. Oh.
Thank you, Chairman Jackson. So our last speaker is Chairman Mike Fairbanks. And Chairman Fairbanks is from the White Earth Band of Ojibwe. And he's a relative of mine.
Miigwech, cuz. You know, being asked to come up here and be a part of this celebration, you know, means a lot. You know, means a lot for not only our people back home in White Earth, but all Anishinaabe, you know. So, Miigwech, Anishinaabe. Mamish Kawigabo Indigenous, Migizin Dudem, Kawabaga Kenakug and Dun Jaba. Miigwech, everyone, you know, and listen to the Ogumas, you know, talk about this place years ago in the past. You know, it does bring a lot of fond memories here of powwows and tournaments and coming over here when I was a kid. You know, I grew up in St. Paul, East Side, McDonough Projects, that area. You know, so I know how it is to live hard and to, you know, and to be happy. And my mom, Elsie, I know Chairman Doobie talked about my father, Jewel Fairbanks, who put together the aftercare. You know, these are things that I do have a footprint here. So I know I'm just so proud of, you know, all of us here today and being a part of this whole celebration and being a part of the parade. You know, people were coming up to me and asking me, you know, like, you're one of the first chairmen to walk in this. And that felt very good today to hear that. And you know, I was even catching myself dancing with the drums. And that's what I wanted to say, Miigwech, to the staff carriers and to the singers and to the drummers out there singing those beautiful songs. You know, that's one thing I really, really made me feel good today, especially with Geesus above us here, you know, and shining down on us today and making this into a beautiful, beautiful day. You know, so this is really a delightful day here in Minneapolis. And like I said, talking about my cousin here earlier and, you know, the work and the hours she put in to get this place where it is today. And I'm so proud of her and proud of all of us, you know, for supporting this. And all the community is here. And that's what makes us, and that's what who we are. You know, getting back to Chairman and the best wild rice. Who has the best wild rice? It's White Earth Nation. We know that. White Earth. You know. So... So I want to say Miigwech to everyone and stay safe. I shook all the officers' hands I could. They do so much work for us. Miigwech, miu.
Well, everyone, you know, that wild rice controversy about who has the best wild rice, I think will be an ongoing debate. But I agree. I think a wild rice competition would be really, really fun to do. You know, the Minneapolis American Indian Center is kind of home base for all of us tribal people in the state of Minnesota. So to have this resource is really just amazing to the community, and it means a lot to us. And I just want to say a big thank you, Pina Gigi, to everyone, all the organizations, the senators, everyone who volunteered, worked, marched, came out, drove from out of town yesterday to be with us in Minneapolis. That was really special and something really amazing to see. And I was happy to be a part of it. Anything for our community. Up next, we have Rachel with Strong Hearts Native Helpline. So stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates. CBS News Brief. There are unconfirmed reports tonight of a tornado touching down in Holly, Texas. And rain has been coming down hard in southeastern Texas, dumping 5 to 8 inches in many areas. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo.
I am issuing, starting now, a mandatory call for evacuation along the east side of the East Fork of the San Jacinto River.
A crash and tanker fire has damaged the Fairfield Avenue Bridge over I-95 so badly that it has forced the closure of the major artery for days. Scott Hill with the Connecticut Department of Transportation.
The damage was pretty severe due to the amount of gasoline that was in the tanker, ignited directly underneath the bridge structure.
In the wake of confrontations and arrests, President Biden says he defends the free speech rights of pro-Palestinian demonstrators on college campuses, but
it's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. School is canceled in Mount Horeb, where a would-be school shooter put the community on high alert Wednesday. Gunshots prompted local schools to lock down for several hours. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
We currently believe that there is no ongoing threat to public safety. But again, this is an ongoing investigation. And we will update the public if any additional threat to safety is discovered.
Law enforcement shot and killed the shooter, who was reported to be a student at the school. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is warning online shoppers about scams. DATCAP recommends making sure everything's in order before entering personal information on any website. DATCAP says you should pay close attention to typos or other irregularities. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Potential blockbusters opening at the box office this weekend include The Fall Guy, starring Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers. Movie history will be made, as this is the first time someone named after a baby goose in real life is named after a fictitious young horse. The Fall Guy is pulling in 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. Also opening is the film Unfrosted, written, directed, and starring Jerry Seinfeld, which tackles the issue of cereal wars and the creation of the Pop-Tart in 1963 Michigan. The film has not been made available for review yet, which is never a good sign, but fingers crossed. Rom-com fans might want to check out The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway, which is also reviewing very well. And finally, sometimes we see a movie so long ago, we're just not sure if it actually sucked or if we were just young and jaded. In a related story, check out the re-release of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, which opens in selected theaters. The film hasn't gotten any better, but maybe you're more forgiving now or just need a Star Wars fix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds tonight, some rain ending, maybe a little clearing late, to a low in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back and warmer, highs into the low 70s. Then another round of rain tomorrow night and Saturday, high temps in the upper 60s. Sunny and around 70 Sunday. Right now it's 53.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas breaks down The Fall Guy, and Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares new tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome group, and they've been supporting us, Native Roots Radio, for over 7 years, and the great work they do all over Turtle Island. So, hey, we got Rachel Akarshonk, who's a Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts. And, you know, Strong Hearts has been around 7 years, as long as Native Roots Radio, and it's been kind of fun to see the growth, because I remember the limited hours that Strong Hearts started out with back in the day, and I see Strong Hearts ads in our WODOC, which is a tribal paper, and you guys are open all the time. I want to welcome you, Rachel, for the first time being on Native Roots Radio.
Awesome, Miigwech. Thank you for having me.
Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into a little bit what Strong Hearts does and how people can use this free service.
Sure. So first and foremost, I am a Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indian citizen. Grew up in my tribal community, born and raised in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Like I was saying, I grew up in my tribal community, I went off to college. I went to the Michigan State University and got my feet wet outside of our tribal community, but then returned back home and started working as a victim advocate for my tribe, the Sioux tribe. And I did that for a number of years, close to 5 years. And then I had moved on to actually start working for a tribal coalition, Uniting Three Fires Against Violence, which is similar to MUSAC, the organization that did the, that sponsored this mm-hmm. call. Or that had the advertisement. I worked there. I started there in 2014 as a policy specialist, and then came on as the executive director for Uniting Three Fires for just up until this past February. And I transitioned over to Strong Hearts Native Helpline to just get my, get accustomed to working for a national org, but still on behalf of Native survivors of domestic and sexual violence. So my entire career since I graduated college has been, for advocating for survivors of domestic and sexual violence who are Native Americans, whether they, deal with violence in their community, on their reservation, or near their tribal community, or in, away in urban settings and things like that. So,
well, before we get really deep in, especially, I'd love to talk a little bit about who should be calling and when. And one of the things that I want to bring up right away that I thought was a really good point last time we talked to somebody from Strong Hearts is to be able to call and talk to somebody that's almost anonymously, because as you know, especially here, like in Minnesota and Wisconsin and the five state area, we're all related. Mm-hmm. So to have that anonymous part of being able to reach out is so, so, so important.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that when we talk, especially to some of our non-Native partners or non-Native allies, how important it is to be able to access services in an anonymous way, if that's what our relatives are seeking, right? I mean, I was just at my Indian health clinic this morning, and I knew a good amount of people in the waiting room, right? And so I think that's really unique to a lot of our relatives, our tribal mm-hmm. relatives across Indian country is sometimes you have that, you're going to have that if you're seeking services. And so to have something like Strong Hearts be anonymous, for someone to call in and say, I need some support with this. I'm dealing with, violence in my household, my family members dealing with violence, and knowing that, it's not going to get back to someone, or they feel mm-hmm. like they have to be ashamed about it. It just is a really wonderful opportunity that we're funded in a way to be able to do that for our relatives.
Well, let's talk about, I didn't mean to get ahead of you. I wanted to make sure I brought that up because I thought that was such a good point that I never thought of in the last time we talked to your organization. So let's talk a little bit about what Strong Hearts is.
Sure. Yeah. So Stronghearts Native Helpline is a 24/7 safe and confidential and anonymous domestic violence and sexual assault helpline for Native Americans and Alaska Natives. We offer culturally honoring or culturally specific support and advocacy. And so what I mean by that is that all of our advocates are Native American or Indigenous and trained in understanding some of the unique considerations that happen when our relatives experience violence. You know, we have different, we have unique circumstances like historical trauma, some jurisdictional issues, just things that impact victimization in a way that a lot of non-Native people aren't aware of. And so, you know, you're compounding victimization, you're compounding violence with all of these other things that make it much more complex and much more difficult for non-Natives to understand how that impacts us both, you know, today, but also, you know, impacts our families, impacts our communities, impacts how, you know, we approach services. So it really is a reflective advocacy approach to really advocacy and to making sure that our relatives are being heard and understood in a way that, unfortunately, I don't think, you know, a lot of non-Native programming can do.
Absolutely. And what I hope someday, and I'm old, and I hope someday that with organizations like yours and the healing and people getting back to traditional ways, that we can break this cycle someday, because, you know, we're not, Haley and I are related, and we're not that far generational away from people that have gone through really hell, you know.
Absolutely.
And handed it down.
Absolutely. And you know, I think when we have, in all of my career and the conversations I've had from, you know, other advocates, but also survivors, I mean, you can trace a lot of our trauma back one generation, if not our current generation, right? Like, it's cycles and cycles of trauma. And until we can address that, you know, we can't focus on the healing, mm-hmm. right? We have to have a good understanding of it. And that in itself those are difficult conversations to have with people who don't know that and aren't, you know, prepared to talk about it.
Right. And there's trauma, and there's trauma that, you know, you can recognize in other people. And sometimes it's harder to recognize in yourself too, but people act out in such ways, and I'm glad there's Stronghearts because there is help out there. I mean, if something smells fishy, it's usually fishy, and you need to reach out.
Right. And you know, that's another thing about Stronghearts is that our advocates, not only do they provide peer support, but we have a database that, you know, includes all of the both Native and non-Native service providers who can do some of that additional advocacy that our advocates can't, right? So we can do a lot of crisis support, peer support, but if a survivor is needing, you know, more direct assistance, whether it be legal advocacy or financial assistance, things like that, we can, you know, do warm handoffs or give information and referrals to survivors that are calling our line so that we can connect them to other resources that they may need that maybe they're not aware of. I mean, and that's so common. A lot of the times working in advocacy, you don't know what's available. You know, you don't know what's out there. You don't know what's available for resources for survivors. And so if our advocates have that database and can do those referrals for them, it's another step towards healing.
You know, I'm not sure if I heard this from Stronghearts. I'm pretty sure I did, but I think a lot of our relatives that are going through this that need help have not only children, but have animals too, that they don't want to leave behind.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There are so many reasons that make it difficult to leave a violent or dangerous situation. And one, our advocates are trained to understand that. Mm-hmm. But two, they're also, you know, we are updating our database to include information about, you know, some of those circumstances where maybe pets are allowed at a certain shelter, or maybe they're not allowed at this shelter, but there might be support, you know, and assistance for pets in a different way. So those are things that we're trying to catalog and collect so that we can give the most up-to-date, accurate information for our survivors. Because that's something, you know, we want to be able to do. If they're in crisis and they're seeking something, we want to send them, we want to give them as much information as we can to what's available, what's something that they can access to, you know, promote their safety.
Yeah. And I think we got about a minute left in this segment. And I really, I'd like to turn the conversation a little bit towards MMIR, MIRW in this last minute and then jump into it with the last segment.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think missing and murdered Indigenous people, missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, all of those acronyms, I think very much intersect with domestic and sexual violence and advocacy. So it's important that we keep, you know, this work at the forefront so that more people are aware of what is MMIW or MMIR or MMIP and how can we, you know, promote access to safety and justice and healing in our communities.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll jump right into that. We got like, what, about 30 seconds left here, huh, Haley?
About a minute.
Oh, about a minute. Well, hey, we can talk a little bit more, too. Let's just give Strongheart's phone number out while we're doing this last minute and how to get a hold of Strongheart's.
Sure. So Strongheart's, you can access us by calling 1-844-7-NATIVE. So 1-844-762-8483. And we also offer chat and texting. And chat can be found at our website at strongheartsnativehelpline.org.
Wow.
I'm sorry, strongheartshelpline.org. My apologies.
Oh, no problem. We'll bring that out again, too, in the next segment. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Rachel, and we're talking about Strongheart's Helpline and the great work they do. What a great opportunity we get to talk to all these doers, Haley.
Yes, I know.
This is Native Roots Radio.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health. This American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Howl! Hey, we are back with Rachel Karshunk, and she's Deputy Executive Officer with Strong Hearts and Strong Hearts Helpline. And, you know, Strong Hearts has been, like I said in the earlier segment, been around as long as Native Roots Radio, and really happy and really joyous that the organization's grown and been around this long. I was at what just happened this weekend again? The big powwow. Gathering of the Nations. I won't say anything political about that, but I was there 3 years ago, and you know what? Strong Hearts was tabling there, and I was like, wow, I know you guys. I was doing some radio work out of there about 3 years ago. It was fun. It's just great to see. I know you guys. You've been on my show. So
yeah, that is cool.
Right on. So, hey, let's talk a little bit. We left off a little bit. Not only first, let's talk about how to get a hold of Strong Hearts. And then I want to kind of jump into a topic we were just talking about with the MMIR.
Yeah, so Strong Hearts, you can get a hold of us by calling our phone number. And my apologies, I don't have it. Oh, I have it right here. So to call us is 1-844-7-NATIVE. So that's 1-844-762-8483. But we are also available through chat and text. And you can chat with us at our website, www.strongheartshelpline.org. And we are available 24/7, 365.
Yeah, that is just awesome. And we can't, like Haley and I were talking about earlier, it's just like we're so blessed on this show to have doers and organizations that are really out there for our people. And it's just a privilege to have you on and have your organization on. I just can't say enough, really.
Yeah, we appreciate it as well. We definitely want our messaging to get out there. And, you know, this is work that is critical, and it's important to us as Native people and as Native advocates, because we know we have extremely disproportionate rates of violence impacting our communities. And so, we exist to eradicate that and to promote, you know, healing and safety and justice in our communities.
Yeah, well, we have like a huge deal here across Turtle Island, and I know Minnesota takes this very seriously. On May 5th, talk a little bit about that day and the day of awareness there.
Sure. So since 2017, that was, I think, when it first was kind of May 5th was recognized as a day of awareness around missing and murdered Indigenous women. And it actually was in honor and in remembrance of Hannah Harris. She was from Northern Cheyenne tribe, and she had gone missing. And she was missing for about, I think, 4 days until her remains were found. Mm-hmm. And so May 5th was actually her birthday. And so that's how the day became recognized, because it was just another person, another Native woman who had experienced violence and had gone missing. And unfortunately, it took a number of days for a volunteer committee to find her. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't authorities. It wasn't, you know, the resources dedicated to finding her weren't sufficient. And so this in 2017 was the first day, the National Day of Awareness, just to raise awareness that Native women in particular go missing at extremely high rates. And we suffer some of the highest rates of victimization, whether it be domestic violence or sexual violence. And just a day for people to recognize that and become aware of it. And so since then, it's really taken off. Tribes are doing proclamations or resolutions recognizing May 5th as a day of awareness. Individual states are doing it. I believe every year since 2017, the United States has done it. I know in Canada, a lot of the First Nations over there are doing it. And sometimes they do different dates. They might do, I've heard of February 14th, but May 5th is one that, sticks out in the United States. And a lot of the tribes are doing awareness events and days.
Around. Right. And we do have our march on the 14th also here in Minnesota, and the Red Shawl March. And that's gotten nothing but bigger and bigger. We had a little pause with COVID, but it's just a big, beautiful march with, of course, our women leading it, which is the way it should be.
Absolutely. There's, you know, I think it's such an honor to be able to attend any of those events and really have that awareness and have that community gathering around this issue. And it's just truly remarkable to see young, old men, women, two-spirit come together and say enough. You know, we're not, we want to raise awareness, and we don't want this to happen in our communities, and we want this to be, you know, eradicated.
Absolutely. And I'm going to jump on the word raised awareness. And, you know, we have a long history of not being considered human. When people go missing, they don't take us seriously. I've talked about this many times, Haley and Rachel. We have a state representative, and I'll never forget, she spoke at the Capitol. She's Native American, and said that, "I've told my children I'll never leave you. So if I'm gone, don't listen to them saying that, you know, I left or ran away." Thank you. And those powerful words that you can tell your children, and to look for you, to look for her.
Wow, that is really impactful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's the reality, right, that Native people face since colonization, right? And I think, you know, when we talk about MMIW Day of Awareness, and that since 2017, this has been kind of like recognized on a larger scale. But the reality is that we've been dealing with colonization since the beginning, right? And that violence that's been harmed against us since the beginning. And so this is a story. These are, you know, instances have been happening since the beginning.
Right. And we have a thing here too. I never heard this, and I've brought this up many times on the show, so Haley's probably sick of hearing this, but we have Lake Superior up there, up north in Duluth, and people disappear from other countries. The boats are up there. It's just like, I had no idea, because I've never really hung out per se in the Duluth and in the harbor and all that. But while that makes sense, and it just amplifies, we've had guests on that have escaped these horrid things, and it's a real thing. And thank you, Rachel, for amplifying this conversation about MMIR.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the reality of it, is that it's a really complex, confusing conversation to have. And you can't even pinpoint one reason, right? There's all of these intersecting reasons that make it a complex situation of why we have, you know, over, I think it's over 5,000 people, indigenous people missing, is because when you talk about jurisdictional loopholes, when you talk about, you know, a myriad of issues that our people face of that, you know, why we have these high rates.
I want to thank you so much. We're about to end the show, Rachel. If you could hold on after the show, I'd like to talk to you a little bit. Hey, if you're listening to the show, this is awesome. This was Rachel Karshunk, Deputy Executive Officer of Strong Hearts. And Haley, do you have the number handy?
I do. That's 1-844-7-NATIVES, 1-844-762-8483.
Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time live from the Pablo Center in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, for the premiere of When Rubber Hits the Road. One of the filmmakers, BJ Hollers, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
And on the good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be, the middle especially for her had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.